The content that you're about to hear is provided by the media ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. For more information about our church, please visit bbcemory.org.
While the children make their way to the back, if you would take your copy of Scripture and turn with me to Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 24. Some of your translations say 24, others say 23. And there's an explanation for that. I'll try to mention that as we get to it. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Paul writes, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you, as do Lucius and Jason and Sosthenes, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus, greet you. Let's pray together. Father, it is our joy and our privilege to be able to come now to this text of Scripture as we have faithfully worked our way through the book of Romans. We come now to this sermon and then one other. And we have been taught well by the apostles' words to the Romans and how they speak to us even in our day, in our time. Thank you that you've made your word available to us, and thank you that by your Spirit you apply it to us. Even now in this place, in this hour, we do that. We pray that you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know that as we read that text, you may have seen a certain tone or felt or heard a certain tone in those words. They were words really of importance, significance, final words almost, if you will, words of warning. And I think about in our own lives as parents, if you have children, you know that there are times that you give them words of warning, exhortation, encouragement. And did you know what the top three things, you might can imagine what the top three things that parents say to their children? Number one thing is what? Close. Not according to this poll, though. It's be careful. Be careful. The second thing that they would say is be quiet. Just be quiet. And the third thing is behave. Just behave, right? Well, it's interesting that those words are important words that we speak from time to time to our children. But these words that the apostle speaks echo really some of the other words that we see in Scripture. For example, hear the words from Jude beginning in verse 17 of his little brief letter. He says, but you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. I think of another incident where Paul was writing to Timothy, and this is his last, what we would say would be his last letter written before his death. And he writes in chapter 4 of that letter, I charge you in the presence of God. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time has come. People will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so these words that we read in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 20, have this flavor of warning. And I think that as we look at this, we'll be able to see some important things that Paul says that are applicable to us. He said it to them, to the Roman believers, but what he says to them is certainly relevant for our day and our culture and our time. So what we're going to see in verse 17 is the word of warning. In verse 18, we'll see the reasons for that warning. In verse 19, we're going to see the encouragement of the warning. And then finally, in verse 20, we'll see the assurance of the warning that he gives. And then finally, those final greetings that are given in verses 21 through 24. Now, I mentioned to you that verse 24, some of your translations will have verse 24. Some of them will not. Some of them have the verse 24 in the footnotes. And that's because the oldest copy of Romans that we have doesn't have that statement that we find really in verse 20. If you look at verse 20, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's the same statement that's found in verse 24. The oldest copy of the book of Romans that we have doesn't include verse 24. That's why in the English Standard Version, it has it in the footnote rather than in the text. So it goes from verse 23 to verse 25 in the English Standard Version. Your Bible is not faulty, I promise. They are just not using it because it's based on the oldest manuscript, the oldest that we have. It would be in the newer manuscripts that were since the oldest that we have. With all that being said, that's the most simple way to say it. So now let's look at the text and let's work through the text. And let's look, first of all, at the warning that the apostle gives here. Notice he says, I appeal to you. Or it's like he's saying, there's one more thing I want to say to you. He's come to the end of his letter. We've got this morning and we've got next Sunday and we're done with the book of Romans. And it's been about 2 years that we have been working through Romans. And again, the apostle has been faithful to teach us. I hope that it's been beneficial to your soul. It certainly has to mine. And it's as if Paul is saying, there's one more thing I want to say before I end the letter. I appeal to you, or I beseech you, or I urge you, brothers, to what? To watch out, or to mark out, or to keep your eye constantly open, or to watch out for who? For those who cause divisions and create obstacles or stumbling blocks or scandals who would upset the faith of people. Watch out for those. Look out for them. Keep your eye out for them because they would cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have learned or that you have been taught. And then what does he say there at the end of verse 17? It's a command. It's not something to take as a suggestion, but the idea is avoid them. Don't even associate with those who would be causing divisions and create obstacles or stumbling blocks for people. That is, people of the faith. Don't even have dinner with them. Don't be involved with them. Don't welcome them. So I want you to see, first of all, that Paul's appeal here is very urgent. There seems to be an urgency because he says, I appeal to you. I want you to hear this. I beseech you, or I urge you, brothers. That's a term of affirmation or endearment, I should say, a term of love. And Paul's pastoral heart comes out in this urgent warning. I'm urging you, brothers, because I love you, to watch out for these who caused this division, these scandals. It almost appears as if there's something currently going on in the church that Paul is addressing. Now, he doesn't really do that except in chapters 14 and 15, where he talks about the division between Jews and Gentiles, and there was not that sense of giving preference to one another. So that may be what he's referring to. There was somebody who was causing division, who was putting stumbling blocks in the way of other people. And this would be contrary to what Paul had taught. That is, he had not only written this epistle, but there have been others who had been faithful to teach them the truth. And now they were to make sure they abided by that truth, that they stuck to that truth. And they are to mark out, that is, this person is causing division. It's this one. They're to mark him out. They're to keep their eyes constantly focused on anyone who is teaching anything contrary to what Paul has written or what the Roman believers have been taught. It's a warning. The Greek word for watch out, when you do it in Greek, it's from the root of the word is where we get our English word scope, like telescope or microscope. So Paul is saying, listen, I'm appealing to you. This is urgent that you watch carefully, that you guard yourself, that you guard the church, that you be careful of these false teachers and their false lifestyle, because they cause people to stumble. Their teaching, their lies, their lifestyles are contrary to what is true. They're teaching what is false. And these Roman believers needed to stay faithful to the teaching that they had been taught. Now, this is strong language. This idea of avoid them, that is, have nothing to do with them, do not tolerate them, keep away from them, don't have any kind of relationship with them, don't welcome them. And I know in our culture, to use that kind of language about people within the church, and these would have been people, no doubt, they would have risen up from among the congregation. In fact, Paul warns about this. He talks about this in Ephesians chapter 20. And I'll just read it to you. You don't have to turn there unless you want to. But in Ephesians, not Ephesians, it's Acts chapter 20. Ephesians doesn't have 20 chapters. I knew that you were, I was just testing you. Ephesians, or Acts chapter 20. Look what Paul says here. In a speech to the elders from Ephesus. He's talking to them, and it's a long speech, but I'll just give you a part of that, beginning in verse 28. Ephesians, Acts 20. He's talking to the Ephesian elders, but it's Acts 20, verse 28. Be careful, or pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I'm going to stop there. But what Paul is saying to these Roman believers is what he warned the Ephesian elders about earlier. And that is, from among them own selves would arise these false teachers. And when they come out from among you, don't have anything to do with them. Don't welcome them, but rebuke them. Avoid them. And again, in our soft Christian culture, these words that Paul would speak would be considered judgmental, unloving. They would be considered critical. Well, you can't say that to anybody. You don't know their heart. You don't know their motive. I know that that's the popular thing to say. That's the popular way to think. He's not saying don't treat them with human dignity. He's not saying that you shouldn't have common courtesy for them, but he is saying by command in no uncertain terms that they are to watch out for these people and they are to avoid them at whatever cost it takes. You should not let them into your life. You should not listen to their teaching. Your eyes should be constantly open to the possibility of false teachers and teaching. You must avoid them. They're like spiritual wolves. They're going to come in and they're going to beguile you. They're going to fool you. They're going to trick you with their lies. And you can damn your very soul by listening to them. So do not listen. That's serious words. How do we think about that as a church? What does that mean for us as a church? Here's what it means. It means, number one, God is so gracious. Then in His wisdom, do you realize that He has established the local church that we might guard and help one another? Not only that, but do you realize by His grace that He has given a plurality of elders to guard the church? One of the things that the elders are supposed to do is to guard the local congregation from this very thing. Those who would cause division, those who would be stumbling blocks. The elders are given, listen, to think about issues, to think about people, to guard the flock, to help the congregation to walk through, to discern, to understand some of the teachings, that some of the things that are out there in the culture, some of the things that are trying to creep into the church. You ought to commend your elders. You ought to appreciate them. This is why God says that a plurality is better than one. Because I don't have all the gifts. No man has all the gifts. And so we're able to discern from a plurality, a group. Is this right or is it wrong? Should we bring this to the congregation? Should we not? I mean, these are the kinds of discussions that we have as elders. What should we do about this? How do we need to think about this latest television program or this latest movie that's come out or this latest book that has been printed? How do we think about this and how should we approach the congregation? Listen, this is why the preaching has to be so precise in terms of, as best as we can, bringing it before you. This is why the songs that we sing have to be vetted. This is why you can't just let anybody teach Sunday school. This is why you just can't let anybody be an elder. You can't let anybody just be a deacon. I mean, you have to think about these things because there's danger. And it will cause divisions. It will cause people to stumble in their faith. And so the elders must lead the congregation, and they must lead it well. They must help the congregation avoid any kind of division, any kind of strife. And so I say right now to our elders, including self, are we doing this? Are we doing this, men? Are we doing this well? We need you, the congregation, to help us. You need to hold us accountable. This is a congregation in which we love one another, we know one another, we serve for one another, we pray for one another. We can't do it without you. So you help us guard. You help us discern. You help us think. This is why you do baptism the way that we try to do it at Believers Baptist Church. This is why we do the Lord's Supper the way we do it at Believers Baptist Church. This is why we try to do evangelism. This is why we emphasize the gospel the way that we do. It's because there's danger out there. And if we don't protect, if we don't guard, you realize that I and the other elders are going to give an accountability before God for your soul. Every member of this church, we are accountable for. Help us to do it with joy. Help us to do it by trusting that you're keeping us on the right path. You're praying for us. You're helping us discern. You're helping us to think. And listen, this is also important for you in the congregation. And it's important in this way. It's important because If you have to be guarded about everything that you allow in your house. Every song that your kids listen to, every television program, every movie, every podcast, every book, every magazine, all that social media. You have to watch, you have to listen, you have to read, you have to be discerning. Not everything that has the name Christian attached to it is worth giving your time to. You have to guard your life. You have to guard your heart. You have to think carefully about these things. There are people out there that would purposely desire to cause division and to trip people up, to cause scandal in the church. They are out there to do that. And they will do it through social media. They'll do it through the latest movie. They'll do it through the latest book, the latest post. You have to discern that. That's why it's so important that you know the Word. What have you been taught? Even as Paul says there in verse 17. Not contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught, but according to the doctrine that you have been taught, what you have learned. Now, this is the most I'm going to say about any of the points, so relax. But this is that important. I mean, we as elders have to take our responsibility seriously under God. We're going to be imperfect. We're going to fail. You as the congregation are to help us to do that. And we as a body then uphold the truth. We make sure that the gospel is clear. We make sure that we stand firm on what the scripture says. And we pray and we encourage and we love and we help one another do it. This is the beauty of the local church. This is why church is not an option. It's not just something to check off your list of spiritual things that you do. You come and get involved in the life of a church because we need each other to do that. I can't do without you and you can't do without me. We may have different gifts, different callings, different responsibilities, but God has called us together to learn and to grow and to understand the gospel and be faithful to the doctrine that we have been taught. That is the apostles' doctrine as given to us in the Word of God. It's important that we do that. And certainly the elders want to do that well. We want to make sure that we love you and shepherd you and guard you. And we're going to do that imperfectly. There's no doubt. You already know that, though. But we want to do it well. I promise you we want to do it well. And I hope that you can feel secure in that. Well, this great word of warning that the apostle gives here is a word that is applicable to our day. It's applicable to what you're going to do this afternoon. I mean, do you pay more attention to your social media than you do your elders? Do you pay more attention to what the latest book says or what the latest movie says about Jesus? Or do you pay attention to what the scripture says about Jesus? It's important to think about. It's important. It's urgent. So we say these things in love. Now, I want you to think with me about verse 18, because if the warning is given to us there in verse 17, that is really that idea of avoiding these who would cause division and strife and cause stumbling among the believers. And it would be contrary to what they had learned or been taught. But now here's the reason. For, you see that little preposition for, this is the reason for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ. Now, there's already been one reason given for us in verse 17. They cause division. And they create obstacles. But also, because these persons don't serve the Lord Jesus, they don't serve our Lord Christ. They serve themselves, but their own appetites. That is, they're looking out for their own personal gain. They're trying to get something by what? By their smooth talk and their flattery. That's their mode of operation. Now, the reason you avoid them is because they cause division and they don't serve Christ Jesus. They serve themselves. They try to get from themselves whatever's comfortable, whatever's convenient, whatever praise, whatever accolades. And how do they do it? Well, they do it by being smooth talkers. And they flatter. They get the naive, that is, the simple-minded, the ones who perhaps aren't quite as learned. And what do? They deceive, they fool, they beguile the hearts and the minds of those who are naive. That is, they're not paying attention. They're not guarded. Perhaps they have a lot of knowledge, but they just backed off. They've just gotten lazy. They've gotten indifferent. They haven't watched. They haven't been careful. They've been lazy about it. And so they get sucked into the deception, to the lies. And it can be not the most simple thing, but it can be the most obvious thing that you see after you start thinking rightly about it. Once you start measuring it against the Scripture, or perhaps maybe it's brought to your attention by a fellow church member, or perhaps I say something from the pulpit and you're like, oh yeah, well I see that. It's so obvious. And it's because you and I just get lazy. We get indifferent. It's so much easier to let somebody else do it for us rather than discern ourselves. So these smooth talkers, they have plausible arguments. They have reasonable arguments, at least in the minds of those who aren't paying attention. It sounds right. It sounds good. They know all the right language. They say the right words and you're caught up in it. And before you know it, what you have is division. And what you have is someone who is stumbling over lies because they haven't paid attention to the truth. These are believers now that are being addressed here. Here's the warning. Avoid them. Why? Because they cause division, because they are in it for themselves. They do it by their smooth talk, their flattery speech. They can take a converted basketball arena and fill it with people. They deceive the hearts and the minds of the naive. But look, Paul has an encouragement for these Roman believers that he wants to give there in verse 19. He says, "For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil." These words seem to be words of commendation, encouragement. They seem to be saying to the Roman believers that they had not completely given in to the false teacher. They had not completely given in to the lies. Perhaps some have been taken in by their smooth talk, their flattery. And flattery, by the way, is a common way that people manipulate others. Flattery is the way that we tell somebody how good they are and how wonderful they are and what they do or what they say. And then we twist it and we get them hooked. And then we can tell them a lie and manipulate them and use them. And so this is what Paul is commending these Roman believers, that they have not completely given into this, for they are known for their obedience. It's known by everyone. Everyone seems to be aware that they had not been taken in by these who cause divisions and teach things contrary to the doctrine that they had been taught. They had not given in to the smooth talk. And Paul's glad. He says, "I rejoice over your obedience." He rejoices that they are obedient. He rejoices that they haven't been lazy, that they have been vigilant, that they haven't been unwise or indifferent. And he says, finally, I want you to continue in that. I want you to pay attention, be wise, keep your eyes open. Make sure that you're guarded against those things that are evil, but pay attention to what is good. Pay attention. Pay close attention. Don't let into your life through social media, through television, through whatever means it is that Satan uses. And all that is not necessarily evil. It's not evil to have a television or to be on social media. But you have to be guarded. You have to be discerning. You have to be wise. So be watchful in those things that are good. Rejoice in those things. Put your life in those things. Listen to those things. Pay attention to what is good. And be innocent. Be pure in regard to those things that are evil. Don't give yourself to evil doctrines or evil practices. Especially of the wolves that would do these things to the church. So we've got the warning that's given in verse 17. We've got the reason for the warning, verse 18. We've got the encouragement of the warning in verse 19. But now, looking at verse 20, the assurance of the warning. Here's Paul gives a final word of encouragement. He's like, look, if you continue in this, that is guarding, watchful, discernment, paying attention, not giving yourself to those things that would cause division, that would cause people to stumble, then you can know this, you're the God of peace. And why is he the God of peace? Because he has made peace with men through the blood of Jesus. Jesus has come. He's lived a perfect life, the life that we can never live. And he has suffered and died as our substitute, because what all sinners deserve is death. And Jesus lived the perfect life, died the death that we deserve. God raised him on the third day, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he is there. And unless you repent and believe in that good news that Jesus accomplished for you what you could not do for yourself, unless you believe that and repent and turn from your sin, you will die and go to hell. It's that simple. So believe. Just believe in it. Be saved today. Humble yourself. Quit hanging on to anything that you think is good enough that God's going to accept, because he's not going to accept it. He will only accept the righteousness that has been earned for you and is given to you by faith. The blood of Jesus has accomplished for us what we could never do for ourselves. He's the God of peace. Read Romans 5, beginning in verse 1 sometime. What is this God of peace going to do? Ultimately, he's going to crush Satan under your feet, the feet of the church. Now, we see this in some measure all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God is talking about the one who is going to come and crush the head of the serpent, right? The serpent crusher. And so that's what all the Old Testament is about. They're looking for the serpent crusher. When Noah is born, they say, is this it? Is he the one? He's not the one. When David comes along, is he the one? He's not the one. Who's going to crush the head of the serpent? Jesus comes and becomes the serpent crusher. Now, Jesus publicly crushed Satan under his feet at the crucifixion. You can read Colossians chapters 1, chapter 2, and you can see that he made a public spectacle of Satan and his demons when Jesus died and then when he rose again. He made a public spectacle of them. So he did crush Satan under his feet. And ultimately the church will do the same. The bride of Christ that we are a part of, we will crush Satan under our feet. And what encouragement that is. See, what Paul is trying to do is saying, hey, keep on keeping on. Keep on guarding your life. Keep on avoiding those who would cause division. Keep on paying attention to what you've been taught. Pay attention to things that you've learned. Help one another. Pray for one another. Serve one another. Do these things. And one day, in Revelation chapter 20, what we see is Satan thrown in the lake of fire where he's going to burn forever and ever. And this is the encouragement for us to keep going. He gives us the word of warning. He gives us the reasons. He gives us the church in Rome, the encouragement that we ought to take for ourselves. But then he gives the full assurance of that. And then in verses 21 through 23, we have that closing. And then we have the statement, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The reason why it's given there in verse 20 is because how are we going to persevere? How are we going to continue? Only by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because I can't do it in my strength or my wisdom or my ability or my gifts or my talent, and neither can you. We're only going to do it by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul makes those final greetings, and we'll not take the time to mention all of those. They're all people perhaps that you would be familiar with from New Testament reading, except for a few. But here's the application that I want to give in our final moments. Number one, to the elders, including myself, we must serve God's people well. We must love them. This is the church that God bought with the blood of his own son. And if we fail in this regard, God help us. God help us. But to the congregation, the application is this. Pray for, trust your elders, but also pray for yourself. Be wise, be discerning. Think about what you're listening to, what you're watching, what music you listen to. What is it that you're doing with your life? Number three, listen, just be encouraged that this warning that is given, these verses here, help us to understand some of the reasons why we have to do some of the things that we do. We want to be a biblically healthy church. And so we have to do the things according to Scripture that would cause that to happen. And then finally, just learn and live and love Scripture, right? Learn it, love it, and live it. Now, if you're an unbeliever this morning, if you want to become a true Christian, I can only say this to you. You must stop believing the lies, the smooth talk, the flattery of those who say you're okay. Who say that everything's okay. You are blinded to the righteousness that you need. And you cannot listen to the lies that your righteousness is enough. For example, by looking at your neighbor and thinking, oh, I'm not as bad as he is. That's not the standard. Your neighbor's not the standard. Jesus is the standard. Repent and believe. Quit believing the lie that you have all the time that you need. You know, Satan's greatest lie, I believe, is this. I can do that some other time. And you're sitting in this sanctuary right now. You're hearing. And you hear the word, the appeal, the urgency of repentance and faith in Christ. And you know what's going on in your head? You can do that later. There's no hurry to do that. Why rush? Live a little. When you get older, you can make that decision. It's a lie. And Satan lies to you about that. And Satan has his people who will lie to you about that. Sometimes you believe the lie that your affiliations, your relationships, your your certain relationship with people would somehow be enough to be credited to you or merited to you so that you could be acceptable to God. It's a lie. You're going to stand before God on your own two feet, not on the coattails of someone else. So don't believe the lies, the flattery, the smooth talk, plausible arguments of those who cause division and strife. Be careful of the false teachers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word to us from the Apostle Paul. We thank you that he warned the Roman believers in that day. And Lord, it is certainly reasonable for us to think in the same way, to hear these words and apply these words as a church and then as individual believers. Father, we recognize the value of what has been written. We know that Paul was writing to a church, and we recognize that even in that, we here at Believers Baptist Church in this day, in this time, we must do the same. And we must do it as individuals as well, taking seriously what's been said here, the urgency of it. And Father, I pray if there's any who are lost, who are relying on anything of themselves, I pray that you would open their eyes, draw them to Jesus, that they would be saved. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.